You're listening to the Missional Marketing Podcast, a show for church leaders, church communications professionals, and ministry volunteers. Our goal is to help your church grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications.
And most churches are invisible to their communities, not because of poor ministry, but it's because of poor messaging. And so let's figure out how do we rein in on our thread and then make sure that that messaging is done with a strategy in mind.
Welcome to another episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast. My name is Bart Blair. I'm the co-host of the show and the brand director for Missional Marketing. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this episode. If you happen to be new to our podcast, we hope that you will subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcast so that you don't miss any future episodes. We've been producing this podcast since 2020 to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. And today, my podcasting partner, Jason Hamrock, who is the CEO. He and I had an opportunity to sit down with one of our friends, Mark McDonald, from the agency Be Known for Something, and have a conversation about poking people's pain. It sounds like a mean thing to do, but in the end, I think you'll understand why we want to poke people's pain. Mark is actually going to be one of the keynote speakers at our upcoming church communications conference that's happening September 17th to 19th in Chicago. We talk about that a little bit on this podcast episode. You can also check the show notes of this episode and get all the details that you need in order to attend that conference. We hope that you will. This will be the first time we've done a conference in Chicago. We've done a roadshow in Chicago, first time we've done a conference there, and we're really looking forward to hanging out with a lot of church leaders and communications directors from around the country for a couple of days to lean in and learn how we can be more effective at helping our churches communicate our message, communicate the message of the gospel, and reach more people in our community for Jesus. I'm gonna wrap up this intro and get on with the conversation. I hope that you'll find it super helpful, super beneficial. If you do, make sure that you share it with a friend. So without any further delay, here's Jason Hamrock and my conversation with Mr. Mark McDonald.
Well, hey, Mark, welcome back to the podcast. How you doing, man?
Things are going so well, and I hope things are going well for you too.
They are. Yeah. It's kind of like ministry. It never slows down. Which is great. But it's so fun because here we are, the tail end of summer, getting ready for the fall and kind of the winter season. And for the church world, that means like a fresh new ministry year usually. So
I can still remember that feeling when you sit down in your first time in your class and you get to open up a fresh new notebook and you get to, it's like that feeling of I'm going to write something on the first page is like, I want to make sure that it's meaningful. And then by the second page, you don't care.
Yeah, I definitely remember those days. Yeah, and it's interesting because it's like with ministry, people get excited about the summer and their plans, and they get ready to launch in the fall. I got a call today with a church that's doing just that, and they want some advice on how do we really increase our small group attendance. So it's like a kind of the same thing. It's like, okay, we're at the drawing board, and how do we move forward communicating and growing more disciples in our church. So yeah, it's kind of the same thing, just a little bit different.
Yeah, what's interesting, I was gonna say, what's interesting to me is we're recording this in early August, and our audience will be listening to this sometime in early to mid-August as well. And I've been having calls with churches, and one of the things that it has been really unique this year and maybe last is that the schools are starting earlier and earlier. So what we used to kind of classify as summer, kind of like that June to August, we're having meetings here with churches at the end of July and the beginning of June. And they're like, well, summer's done. Like we're already on to the fall. Kids are all back in school. What we used to call fall kickoffs are really now kind of like end of summer, wind down, fall kickoff sort of thing. Yeah. So it's a really, I'm sure that those that are listening can relate to that very well. You know, hopefully you got a break.
What are you finding? Because in my mind, school started after Labor Day. That's when we went back. Yep. And now when it's going back in August, what are you finding? Because I'm hearing from a lot of pastors that I talk to, they're confused as to whether we still launch in September or whether we launch in August now. And a lot of churches are kind of postponing it into September, even though schools are going back. What are you guys hearing?
A little bit of different. And what more compounds it is, if you're a multi-campus site and you have different campuses in different cities, you might have different schedules around the school districts. Yeah. So I have here in Arizona, there's schools that started in mid-July. And yeah. then some are starting now. Yeah. And so I think you kind of have to balance that to go, when's just going to be the best? I do like the after Labor Day type of thing, but it seems to me that most families will kind of get into the routine and the rhythm of back to school. So it's a great opportunity to kind of figure out that's when you want to get them back to church. You might push an event off till maybe the later August or early September, but it seems like you just want to be mindful of when do your people kind of get back into their, you know, their rhythm of a, what we call our fall.
Yeah. Well, Mark, you grew up in Canada. I lived in Canada for 20 years and my kids grew up in Canada, and the school year in Canada does tend to go a little bit later in the spring, like well into June. In fact, when I lived in Alberta, the kids were in school almost to the very end of June, and we didn't go back to school until after Labor Day in September. That's, yeah. I think in the United States, that's way long past. I think New York City and the New York schools still start after Labor Day. But I still think those of us who are adulting, we still, even though our kids may be starting in August or even in July, mentally, we still think about that Labor Day weekend as the end of summer. And so when I'm coaching churches, I really try to help them try to think about the mindset of the people in their church. I think people still do kind of a last hurrah Labor Day weekend if they're going to travel, one more trip to the lake, one more trip to the cottage, whatever it is that they're going to do. So I'm like, that could be a rather disruptive weekend. So if you're launching a sermon series in the middle of August and then you've got the Labor Day weekend right in the middle, you might lose momentum for that fall sermon series. So, you know, if you can package something for August and then kind of, you know, bide your time through the Labor Day weekend and then really start your seasonal push, your fall seasonal push after the Labor Day weekend. That's the way I tend to coach churches.
Yeah, that's probably wise. I mean, we know that COVID kind of interrupted the main routine, and summer kind of interrupts the main routine. And at a certain point, families are getting back to what is our routine? What are we actually going to, how are we going to pace ourselves? And how do we make sure that we have some regular stuff that's going on, and we just want to make sure that the church is back in there, because those people who have somewhat taken a break from church world during the summer, that as they start thinking about the new routine that they get into, church just needs to be part of that conversation.
Yeah, totally.
Hey, you know what, guys? Let me press pause here for just a second, because we're like already into like 10 minutes into this podcast, and there may be people listening to this episode who have no idea who Mark McDonald is. Actually, they may not have any idea who Bart Blair or Jason Hamrock are either. But Mark's a longtime friend of the podcast, been on the show multiple times. Mark, why don't you like give us a little bit of your story and just share with our audience who you are and what you do?
Now, anytime that somebody's recording a podcast and they say, let's press pause, that always gives that feeling of, what have I just said? I am Mark McDonald, and I grew up in Canada from New Brunswick. And now I live in Jacksonville, Florida, and I am a somewhat new American citizen. I run Be Known for Something Church Branding company. And, you know, I've spent decades helping churches just control what they're known for. Sometimes when we leave it to the individual church, we just talk too much. And oftentimes people become overwhelmed with all the messages, and they ignore what doesn't feel helpful. So we, as an agency, we help ministries discover a thread that connects their congregation to their community. You know, we've helped thousands of churches, and whether they're small or all the way up to mega size, but we help them cut through noise so that people return and become friends with the church.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, you got a great ministry, really, that's really helping a lot of churches. It's so cool. So thanks for being on the podcast. You wrote something. I want to dive into some stuff. You said something not too long ago where you posted, you said, your people don't need another sermon. They need a better solution. And okay, that's a big statement. People don't need another sermon. They need a better solution. What? Let's unpack that. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so it's interesting because I get to speak at a bunch of conferences. I'm speaking at your conference. I'm really excited about that. And I don't know about you all, but when I prepare for what I'm going to say, oftentimes the Holy Spirit allows me to say some things that I go, oh, that's interesting. And then I have to unpack that later, thinking it is actually something that people need to hear. And so that's one of my quote graphics. And if people follow me on Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn or any of those, they'll see those quotes.
I saw it on all three, which is what got my attention. I'm like, Mark's trying to stir a pot here of some sort.
Well, you know, it did stir up a conversation. And I guess that one thing that I never want to be known for is knocking the church. I love the church. I am part of the church, and I totally support what the church is trying to do in their communities. And it's tough, and it's getting harder and harder for things to actually break through. And I'm certainly not knocking sermons with that quote, even though it came across that way a little bit at the very beginning. Instead, I'm just trying to challenge how we actually define success. And I think every church needs to do that. Our audience is drowning in content. There's so much content. You know, everyone wants to talk about AI right now. AI is just putting out a whole bunch more content that we don't have to actually do. So as that content's spewing forth, the noise problem that we had before is actually growing. And what I have found is that what most people are truly craving is a biblical solution to their felt need, not just, you know, throwing out biblical content and expecting people to actually be transformed by it. You know, if your sermon doesn't connect with their Monday pain, they'll forget it by Sunday dinner.
Absolutely. 100%. And just to kind of piggyback on that, it really should revolve around helping them become better followers of Jesus, because we know that's the solution to every felt need issue is if you're a disciple and following him. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems in this world. Okay. That by any stretch, but what you're saying, I think, is that the content that what you're teaching is the solution is teach them how to follow him better. That hits home on whatever it is they're dealing with.
Well, I think that we have to realize that information isn't transformation. We need to stop preaching sermons that don't solve anything.
Yeah.
It's really tricky. It's a really tricky thing. You know, I had two calls. I've had two calls this week with churches that we have the opportunity to serve at Missional Marketing. Both of those churches, they would say that their distinctive in their community is their verse by verse expository preaching. And so what that's my preferred method as well, is verse by verse expository preaching. I'm a pastor, I'm a church planter. It's what my group of people that I work with, I serve with, that's what we tend to lean towards. Not that we don't do topical preaching sometimes, but I think you're right, Mark, that even within the context of a verse-by-verse exegesis and expositional preaching, we still have to figure out what the application is, because it's not enough for us to just be knowers of the word. As James says, we need to be doers of the word. And you can't do the word if you don't understand why the Greek words matter. You know, we can go through it verse by verse, word by word, you know, Greek, conjugate the verbs and all that stuff that we do. But if it doesn't lead to life change, if it doesn't lead to the transformation that you just alluded to, I think we're really short selling, number one, what scripture is actually able to do in our lives. And secondly, we shortchange the people in our churches who are coming not just to walk out the door with a few more Bible nerd nuggets in their back pocket, but to actually experience God in a way that transforms and changes their lives.
Well, and it's interesting because sometimes we're biblical nerds. Like, we love getting into the etymologies and all of the, you know, Greek and Hebrew and and like what's the historical values of all of this stuff. But the average person in your pews clouds over if you don't tie that to some type of a felt need. You know, oftentimes, we're doing the research to figure out who the community is that the church is trying to, to relate to. And what we oftentimes find is that the congregation is oftentimes much older than their community. And we're inviting the community to come in, and they're walking into the room and they're just thinking, so it's just so much older than me. So they don't feel like that they're part of that. So oftentimes pastors say to me, so what do I do? I am older than the community. How do I relate to those people? And oftentimes what it means is that they need to start telling stories about not their own life stage, but the life stage of the community. So if you're expecting to reach 30-somethings, you've got to tell stories that relate to 30-somethings. So if you're constantly talking about your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, the 30-somethings are going, I don't even know what that means. That doesn't relate to me at all. And there's where when we're preaching, and I normally stay far, far away from telling a preacher how to preach. So this is like me just crossing the line. Thank you very much. But when people are preaching, the worst type of sermons as a communications person sitting in the pew is when after, 30, 40, 50 minutes of hearing all what the Bible says, the pastor says, so let's apply this to our lives. And the last 5 minutes is what actually interests me. It's instead, we need to integrate our stories. We need to integrate the solution to the felt need all the way through scripture so that people understand that this is for me. You know, our main formula here at Be Known for Something is say their name, speak their pain, solutions to proclaim. If you don't say their name first and then speak their pain that you're trying to solve, people don't understand that the solution is for them. So we have to make sure that we have to right size it. It's almost like we need to start with the application, and what we would say is poke the pain, like figure out what is it that they're dealing with and just poke it so that someone goes, oh my goodness, it's true. It's like those old info commercials where it's like, do you have problems flipping an egg? And like the person's flipping them all over the place. And it's like, you know what? I think I have a problem flipping an egg. And the thing is that by poking that pain, the people in the pews go, you know what? That is an issue that I'm dealing with. And then when the pastor says, so let's look at scripture, let's figure out how we can solve that. People go, I do have that problem. I do need that. Or to use the analogy of the commercial, I do have a problem flipping the egg. I need that pan that helps me flip an egg, and that's the way our brains work. We just need to make sure that we integrate the solution in with the problems.
I mean, I really like that a lot. So poking the pain, because so this is mostly comm directors who listen to our podcast and people in the communication space, not all, but a lot of them. So if you're listening to this, then Mark, tell us, okay, so you the poster kind of poked the pain, or the pastor poked the pain a little bit, poster, and gave us some solutions. So as a comms person, what do you do with that?
So as a comms person, we need to advocate for our audience. So we need to, whatever is happening in communications, things that you can control and things that you can't control, you need to be aware of whether the connection has been made with the audience. If you truly love the way that God wants us to love, Jesus said, we'll be known for our love one towards another. If we truly love, then we will be conscious constantly of the pains, the needs, concerns, and goals of the people in our pews, as well as the people in our community. So you need to be really aware of how does it come across to those people who are just looking for a better solution. And if the pastor doesn't necessarily do that, you need to lovingly come alongside of him and say, I love your application at the end of the sermon. I'm scared that people will miss it because they've zoned out because of all the stuff before it. Just to have that conversation. If you can't have that conversation, then the things that you can control, like your social media posts or your emails, make the connection so that when you take the snippet of the sermon, make the connection in your post and then push the video. And allow people to understand that this is a pain that you're experiencing, and here's how our pastor was able to solve it using God's word.
I love that. So that is so powerful. If we can kind of get in the habit and the rhythms of doing that every week would be great, but we understand it's probably not every week, but close to it. And what I love about that is marrying that with what our mandate is as a church. Our mandate is to go and create disciples. And so if you think about, well, what at your church, what does a disciple look like? And you're having these solutions that your pastor's bringing to the table, to the conversation, to the sermon, you can bridge those together. And out of that, you're going to get a lot of fruit. Because like you said, you can't cause people to drink the water. You can give them a cup and say, this is going to be really good for you. This is going to help you in your pain. We're poking the pain. You're identifying it. We can't solve that for you. You have to solve that for yourself, right? But here's the ingredients is go do it.
Exactly. And we have to understand what we can control and what we can't control. And every person, any church comm that is listening right now knows what they can't control. And what we need to figure out is how can we do it better with the things that we can control? And with that win, that oftentimes will happen, the pastor will listen just a little longer to you when you say, so what if you did this? And become masters of your trade. Make sure that you understand the complexities that the pastor's going through. And he wants to preach God's word. We know that God's word will not come back void, but it needs to be heard. And the problem is that oftentimes churches are just talking far too much and not concentrating on one direct area that the church and the community actually wants to hear.
Go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, how do you know if you're winning?
Well, and there's where I think all three of us could probably talk to this, because everyone wants to know what the return on investment is, whether they're winning, and what metric do we use? And that's like a whole other, discussion that we probably as a church, as a local church, especially if you're in the second seat, like most communications people are, you need to know what metric your pastor, as the person in the lead seat of your church, what metric do they actually care about as success? So it's a great question. And every church comm should probably say to their senior pastor or their businessmen or somebody who they report to, what do you want as a win here? Is it more numbers? Is it more discipleship? Is it more whatever it is? And that's what you need to just constantly be aware of. How do we bring this up to a point where it is measurable and it is actually growing?
Mark, can I get you, sorry, Jason, I'm dying to focus a little bit more on this poke the pain thing. And I'd love for you to zoom out a little bit from the context of the sermon only. And again, speaking to a church communications director, I know that this is probably right up your alley with the way that you guys work with churches to try to find their thread and what they're known for. But as we zoom out and we think about all of our marketing and communications and digital strategies as a whole, our website, the language that we use, our marketing initiatives, How do you implement that poke the pain concept in a broader scale, not just from the sermon standpoint, but hey, we're a church that's here to ultimately help you solve a problem. Now, the problem we ultimately want to solve is the one that you're disconnected from God because of sin, and we want to see you reconciled to God through Jesus, but that might not be the pain that you're feeling day in and day out, although it's the one that we ultimately want to solve. How do you work with a church and say, poke the pain? What's the pain of your community? How do you poke that pain? How do you make that part of your bigger messaging as a whole?
Well, first of all, we have to understand who our audience is. And effective communication rises and falls on how well you know your audience. But Jesus then calls us to not just know them, but to love them. And so we need to have the knowledge. So that's usually a demographic study. What we would do is we would, you know, create where we believe your reach area is, not because it's what we think, but it's where your people are actually coming from. And then, you know, remove the outliers, figure out where the main clustering is, and then look at that awful amount of demographic information that comes out of it, but then put it through the prism of how can we love these people? How do we fall in love with their pain points? And the joy of it all is that oftentimes, because we come from that reach area, we have the same pain points. So the best connector between a congregation and a community, or the pastor and the community, or the church comm and the community, is that we've gone through a lot of those pain points ourselves, and scripture has helped us. So if we can make that connection, it will connect a whole lot better. Let me just back that up a little bit. If we make the connection of, I know what you're feeling because I've been there, people will lean in. And if you say, and here's how I was able to overcome that, or here's how I was able to reach the goal that you're trying to reach and you're not being successful, but I was successful. And here's what scripture says that helped me along that path. They will lean in so much more than if you just spew forth scripture and say, well, like, if you all follow this, you'll just have a better life. Like, they just won't listen to it at all. And I think that that most times we want to have this overly religious message first as a church, and then we wonder why the community doesn't want to come. It's not like, you know, we understand that Jesus is the answer to everything that they're dealing with, but they're not waking up in the morning, I need to get ready for life. Oh my goodness, if only I had Jesus. And the problem is that we're speaking solutions to people who don't know that they need them. So we need to lean into their pain points first and their felt needs, and then give them the solution, and they'll listen a whole lot longer.
I love that. I agree with you 100%. It starts with the person in the lead seat. And then you surround that with testimonies of other people who are just like you, who share their experience, share their pain, but then they say, here's how we got through that. Because as I'm watching that, I see the hope. Wait, they were able to get through that mess and come out the other end? I want that for my life too and my family.
Well, in fact, we've added to our formula for the very first time ever. So it's say their name, speak their pain, solutions to proclaim, and then show the gain. So we wanted to keep it as a rhyme, but the show the gain is our testimonials. So when people, if we can control the story because most people can't talk succinctly. So videotape it, edit it, make sure that it's set up that they establish who they are. So, you know what, as a young parent, and then as soon as they say young parent, that's say their name, then speak their pain. Oh my goodness, I have always struggled with whatever it is. And then have them actually say, but I found this solution, and it was through our church ministries that helped me in my discipleship process that allowed me. And then the show the gain, get them to talk about how it changed their life. The things that they were struggling with, now they've overcome them through the hope of Jesus Christ, through the ministries of this church. And if we can show that and use them effectively, stories will break through so much faster than anything that a pastor would ever say in a sermon.
Oh, I love that. Well, I get really excited to hear, just listen to you talk, because we're going to be together in September. And so if you're listening to this, if you don't know, we've got a church communications conference coming up September 17th, 18th, and 19th. Mark's going to be there. Bart's going to be there. I'm going to be there, and a whole bunch of other people. And we're going to dive deeper into this. And really the theme of the conference is built with purpose. Everything Mark's saying here is a strategy. You got to build this with purpose. If you don't have a purpose or a strategy, you're kind of just doing church. Like most other, you're just kind of going week to week to week. Oh, the fall's here. And then, oh, Christmas is here. And then, oh, New Year, Easter. You're just on this merry-go-round. Build it with purpose. Mark, tell us a little bit about how excited you are, or what you're looking forward to in the coming to be a keynote speaker at the conference.
You know, anytime that I get into a room with people who are like-minded, we're all trying to figure this out. Church communication is changing so much. There's so many changes that are happening. In fact, with the advent of AI, I know that that's going to kind of get woven through everything that we talk about. But ultimately, we need to figure out what is that framework that our church is known for? What is it that will actually bring them through the doors? Because we all want to have whatever that metric is, we want to help increase that and have success. So one of the sessions that I'm going to be speaking on, fortunately, I looked it up beforehand because it's around the corner, but sometimes don't always remember. If they don't know you, they won't come. And how do we as communicators figure out what they do need to know? How do we tell the right stories so that everything that we're doing isn't just a one-off that's gone, done and gone? Instead, let's figure out how do we create the content that builds and invests on each other so that the community over time will actually know who you are and say, you know, I didn't expect to get that from a church, but that's what I need. And that's where evangelism kicks in, that we can have them actually come in, share them with them some solution that will actually lead to the gospel.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. We've actually broken it down into like three different sort of sections. And this will make a lot of sense when you're at the conference, but you know, building awareness of people in your community know you exist because there's a building there, but they don't know you at all. They just know there's a building right there with your name on it. Perhaps they remember your name. They know nothing else. And so we want to build a better awareness strategy, just thing that you're saying, that when they realize that they're in a situation, in a felt need type of situation, they maybe, and this is the Holy Spirit's got to work with us on this one, they will remember you, go, oh, that church, right? It's exactly. So how do you solve that for them and help them build? So we're going to talk about awareness, and that moves into actually attending your church, which is a whole other section that leads to action. Because your whole point is to love them. Jesus said, go, a new command I give you, love one another, and then go make new disciples. Pretty simple stuff. But we've complicated the crud out of it, right? As churches.
Yeah, and most churches are invisible to their communities, not because of poor ministry, but it's because of poor messaging. And so let's figure out how do we rein in on our thread and then make sure that messaging is done with a strategy in mind.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm really, really pumped because I look at, in this dawning era of AI, AI isn't solving problems. It's just going to help you maybe do a little more efficiently. You still got a problem. And that's what you're going to get, a solution or strategy through the conference. And so if you don't have that, you got to sign up. You can go to churchcommunications.com, register, today. It's again, September 17th, 18th, and 19th, and we're going to be in Chicago. It'll be a fun time to be in Chicago.
Yeah, those of you who are listening, maybe the September conference in Chicago is not something that you are able to do. We also have some road shows coming up this fall in San Antonio and Houston. And where else, Jason?
Yeah, we're going to be in LA. And yeah, by the time this drops, we'll have already been in Columbus, Ohio, and up in the Detroit area. So that happens this month.
Yeah, so click over to churchcommunications.com and you can find information about the conference as well as the roadshow. Mark, any parting shots before we land this plane?
Oh my goodness. So we're doing an eternal work, but don't do it in a way that your message gets lost. I mean, people are searching for something that actually works, that better solution. We need to be known for delivering it. It's one of those crazy things that we need to solve what their felt needs are and then make them realize that the gospel is the ultimate better solution. That's what we're called to do. So I've dedicated my life to it. I know you guys have dedicated your life to it. We want to help you, and I would certainly love to meet you in Chicago coming up here at this conference.
Yeah. If you're my a pastor, you have a parting shot too. Okay, Jason.
I do. And it's this, we're kind of talking about, you know, really he's just laying it on kind of strategy. You got to be able to, you know, speak that, you know, he just mentioned that. What I want to talk, my parting shot is our math doesn't equal God's math. Our math is 1 + 1 = 2. God's math is, no, you just plant a seed and watch me do what I do. And for some reason, you know, when we think about, if we invest this, we're going to get this return. No. If God's in it, that return's going to be like abundantly more than we could possibly imagine. And so you can't do this void of the Holy Spirit. Because when God's in your strategy, he's the one who multiplies it. We don't. And so that my parting shot is, don't think about math in terms of if I do this, I'll get this. Uh-uh. It's not our math. It's his math. Completely different mathematical system.
Well said.
Thank you for that, Jason. For those of you who've made it all the way to the end of this podcast episode, hope it's been enlightening for you. If you haven't ever subscribed wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, please make sure that you do that. We're not always as consistent as we would like to be in getting these episodes dropped. So if you subscribe, when we do drop an episode, it will get delivered to your mobile device. You don't have to think about it. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, make sure that you subscribe there. And if you haven't ever left us a rating or a review, please do that. We'll put all the information about the conference in the show notes here, as well as a discount code. I'll throw a discount code in there. Ooh, so for those of you who are podcast listeners, we'll give you a little bit of a discount to make it a little more affordable for you and your team. And we'll also have all of Mark's contact information and his team at Be Known for Something. He's very active on social media, so we'll put all of his socials there. You can check out his website, follow him on LinkedIn or X or Facebook or Insta, anywhere. I mean, the man is everywhere.
I even have Pinterest. If you want to follow my boards on Pinterest, you can see some really cool designs.
I'll be working on some Pinterest jokes for the conference in Chicago.
All right.
Thanks again on behalf of Mark and Jason. I'm Bart Blair. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast. This podcast is a production of Missional Marketing. Our goal is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. For more information, visit our website at missionalmarketing.com.